Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Deutschland Couch Show. Serie A just kicked off this weekend, and I got two Inter fans with me. The usual, Danielle is here, and Julian, our guest of the evening, is here as well. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
I'm good as well.
All right, so we're going to kick it off. I don't want to talk about Inter too much, but I'm going to be forced to. So you guys obviously kicked off the season. You guys were my pick to win the league as well. And so on, you guys go to a newly promoted Lecce, Lukaku's back, scores. But until the very end of that game, it was level until you get that late equalizer. So, any opening thoughts, either one of you can go. I don't have a preference.
Oh, okay. Well, the beginning was like the best possible way to start it. The Inter came out like guns blazing, a beautiful cross and Di Marco into Darmian. Darmian headed, cushioning header to Lukaku. Lukaku gets his first goal back at Inter. A great way to start the game. 2 minutes in, and Lukaku's already began to gain the trust of the Inter fans after departing to Chelsea last season. And then I think the first half was a pretty solid first half, but then the second half was really for Inter. They were struggling and they're really on the back foot, and then it was just horrible defending Milan, Skriniar and De Vrij to let Lasagna for the equalizer. And I mean, it was just very upsetting. I thought it would be a little bit more of an easy game. Inter would be more of a comfortable win, but hats off to Dumfries for getting the goal, and I think Inzaghi too showed bravery changing formation in order to try. And not the way I think Danielle, you could agree with me, not the way we like to have gotten the 3 points, but I think it shows character at the end of the day, getting an equalizer like that.
Yeah, Danielle, I'm going to let you go in a second, but just on a personal note, I was watching the game and I kind of had the same sentiment. Not that I was kind of hoping Lecce would get something. Lukaku obviously scores to kick it off. But because your team is, I just felt you were going to get that equalizer, and it happened at the last kick of the game, it felt like. But Daniel, what were your thoughts on it?
Drew to them when it was Lukaku's first season at Inter. I think we beat them at home and we tied away. Yeah, I believe so.
Just warning, we may be cut off at any time during the podcast episode.
No, don't worry.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, Lecce has definitely been a team to keep an eye on against top tier teams, because even though we expected an easy win, they did a great job on the defensive aspect. So, I mean, they could have easily, if this was like any other team, they would have allowed like 3 goals in the back of their net. But this is a team that has a really decent defense and can try to keep up with some of the top tier clubs on certain occasions. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that I thought they were going to play up to the competition, just because first game back in Serie A, obviously against arguably the title favorites or one of the title favorites. So I thought they would play you tough, but at the same time, I thought because of the quality of your squad that you guys would overpower them in the end. And Lukaku scores 3 minutes into the game, and I thought it was just going to be like his first debut, where you guys I think scored 4. And then they get that goal, bad defending again. Unfortunately, I don't think you can blame that on Handanovic. Sorry, Daniel. now she's been calls him Butterfinger sometimes. But yeah, so I'll get into that in a second. But I thought that Lecce played very well. I don't think they're going to perform like this every single week. But I think the fact that they're playing against Inter first game. And even though there was a mistake in the back, during the first goal, I thought they come together well at the end and getting that late goal. Anyway, as I was saying, I just think at the end, the winning intangibles that maybe Inter didn't have in the last couple of years, or at least regularly, came through in the end, and they get that winner. And fortunately, I have to watch Inzaghi run down the sideline like a little child, but you know that's how it goes.
Yeah. I did notice something. I was at the Barella moment.
Real quick, I'm just curious, because when I saw the starting lineup, obviously great team, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought the new goalkeeper was going to be started. What are your thoughts on kind of Handanovic getting the start, and what do you think the plan is going to be for the two goalkeepers for you guys?
I wasn't surprised personally. I think Inzaghi's going to like take his time with. I think it's going to start when Inter play Cremonese their fourth game of the season. I think that's what I thought. That's what I think Onana's going to get his debut.
Do you think he's going to get Champions League games too then?
Like Julian said, I wasn't surprised when Handanovic was in the starting lineup. I mean, you kind of go with that experience regardless. And then obviously with some of like your weaker teams like Cremonese, it would definitely be a great way for Onana to get his like start in the league. And then obviously I still think he will get some of the Champions League matches depending on like the certain situation, especially since
I think the something to improve on, I think, is defensively, like from the preseason games until now, like, that was one thing that we were struggling with, is like defending like collectively, and the back three, like it wasn't as stable as it usually was as the last season. So like I think there's definitely improvements in that aspect. But for the most part, the first half, Inter was like controlling the ball really well, and they were controlling the game. And I think like that was some. I think if we could just keep that up for a period, like for like the majority games, like I think we'll be in good hands this season, because we definitely have a very strong, arguably the best team on paper. So with that,
yeah, 100%.
You would expect greater things. So I think if Inter could just possess the ball more, like they did the first 15-20 minutes throughout the majority of the game, I think that they'll be fine for sure.
Yeah, Daniel, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the positives that I saw was that the winning intangibles / mentality is still there. Obviously, a long time ago, Inter, if they got leveled by a team such as Lecce, they would have just gave up and quit. But seeing that they fought until the very end and got that last-minute winner definitely shows that the mentality is still there and they know what needs to be done in order to execute that to perfection. And I agree with Julian. The defense needs to become more cohesive again. Just lately, even at points last season, that kind of was the thing that was becoming an issue again. And so if they can kind of be more cohesive and have a little bit more direction on where they're supposed to be, I think we would be golden.
Yeah, I think, just personally, I think you guys have the best team on paper by far. Even if you didn't get Dybala, I mean, if you had got him as well, it'd be better. But just in terms of what they have, and, you know, I respect AC Milan and what they were able to do last season, incredible. But if you just look at the totality of that squad, it wasn't that strong. And I think the mentality thing in the end, for me, is the most important. Because last year, you guys, I think, fell apart in those important moments. I mean, the Bologna game sticks out because of my stupid national team goalkeeper, you know, giving the title to AC Milan. But I really hope he's not going to be a starter on internationally, but that's a whole other issue. But I feel like the games against Milan were tough for you guys, and even though you beat them, the one, the Coppa Italia and all that stuff, and then there's a few games, the Genoa game, the Sassuolo game, where you guys fell short. And as the game was going on, even though I was confident you were going to get a winner, I was like, it felt like the little concern at the end. But the fact that they went on and still got that win in the end, I think, is probably the most important thing from that whole game, just because you got the best team on paper. You should win the league, unfortunately. But all of the pieces that you brought in, I thought played well. I like the fact that Lukaku got that goal so quickly.
Right.
And even though, you know, because, you know, there's a big thing about Lukaku and Timo Werner and not working at Chelsea. That's a whole nother issue, but I kind of blame Chelsea for not putting them in the right situations there. And that's why they both quote unquote flopped, but getting him back on the score sheet immediately was great. I would have loved to see Lautaro get another one but that's how it goes. But I thought the way they played, and I was worried that Lukaku comes back, he's gonna sort of from a personality standpoint is going to come in and demand to be the guy. And I thought it was very selfless in his performance as well. That was the thing I was like, because the one thing I was like, okay, if you're going to do this Lukaku deal, he can't come up here and say, Martinez, sorry, this is my team now. Again, he left the keys in the ignition. He got out of the car. And it I don't know. It depends on who you think. I think it's Martinez or a Barella team. And as long as he comes in, kind of like supports him, and he can be top goal scorer, but it's still not technically his team. And as long as he's okay with that, then you guys are going to win big things. And when that deal came across, I was a little worried, like, okay, they're going to get Lukaku, but they're going to lose Dybala. Is that the right situation? And I think it might be a little bit, but I think Lukaku, at least game one, being more selfless than I thought he would, I think is a huge kind of step in the right direction. So I don't know. That's just my take on it as a neutral.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's Inter survive at the end with a great goal by Dumfries to win it. So let's go up to the other side of Milan. I have a lot to say about this personally, but AC Milan start their campaign with the win over Udinese. Crazy game. You know, they concede first, and then they're winning, and then it's drawn again, and then they kind of pull away in the end. What were you guys' thoughts on their opening day performance?
Well, first of all, hats off to Udinese. I mean, that was pretty phenomenal. They got the goal nice and early at the San Siro, like header across in. Like, it was perfect way to start it. But then, fair play to AC Milan. Like, they came back. I thought the Rebic was pretty impressive. There was the talks of Giroud and the potentially being the successor of like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's going to probably miss out the majority of the season. But I think like Rebic is pretty much proving that he's underrated, and I think like he's definitely one to watch. He played very well against the Milan, like made the right runs and was always at the right spot, and it was a brilliant goal he scored. And even Brahim Diaz, I found impressive as well. The Rebic's second goal, like it was impressive, an impressive piece of skill to that he performed to beat the marker and provide the assist for the Croatian. So that was nice. And fair play to them. They persevered and they got all 3 points to start off the season. And saw a little bit of the new signing, Charles de Catalan. He didn't much, but I think it was nice to see him play a little bit just to get warmed up for the first game of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I'll throw it to you, Daniel, in a second, but I just want to touch on one thing. The one thing, obviously, Udinese, it's like they played as well as they could have, but they were just overpowered in the end by talent, in my opinion. For sure. Yeah, and I'm like, when they're sitting at 2-2, it's just like it's just going to be a matter of time before it breaks.
Right.
I thought the attack went well. Rebic scored 2 goals. Now, that's great. If he can consistently do that, I think is a great thing. My question with the Milan attack is: can a striker or whatever you want to call, can someone in the front outside of Leao get 15 league goals? And that's sort of been my concern.
Right, because that was the problem last season, is that when Leao didn't perform front line, like nobody was able to help maintain the consistency that Leao provided. That's the question for sure.
Yeah, and I think the it was like a community of goals, which works if you're Mainz or Sassuolo or somebody like that. But if you're AC Milan, you need someone up there to score you the 15 needed. And I know Tonali didn't play in the midfield and stuff like that, but that me and Daniel have been talking all summer about them getting an attacker. They can get them the amount of goals. And then they brought, I have to learn how to pronounce his name first. I'm just going to call him Charles from Club Bruges. The right. Problem is, is he a striker? Technically, he has played there, but his best position is central midfield. So, right. I think that my question, and Milan played well and they played great, and I give them all the respect that they deserve. But I think you have a problem because you're either going to play him as a striker or a midfielder. So, if you play him as a striker, you have 15 goals out of him probably. But if you don't play him then you have a gap in the midfield. Then if you play him in the midfield, then you have the gap up top. So I'm just curious of how they're going to handle that, because I think they lost the plot on Renato Sanchez, who I thought they were going to get. They spent the whole summer trying to get this guy, and I think he's going to be great. But the one thing I noticed from the Milan game is there's going to be a gap somewhere in how they're going to sort of collectively fuel that. And but I thought Milan played well. If you can get Rebic to score 10 goals, I think that's great, because last year it was like they got 15 goals, but from like five different people outside of like Liao and people like that. But if they figure out a way to use Charles in the right way, whether it's as a striker or as a central midfielder, I think they'll figure it out. But that's the one thing that I'm a little skeptical about, at least at this part of the season. And I still think they're going to have a great campaign, but I think that's going to be – whether that works or not is going to determine their entire season. Danielle, what were your thoughts on AC Milan's opening victory?
Congratulations. I mean, Udinese, just so you know, I'm always like this, by the way, just heads up.
That's all right.
But, yeah, Udinese did a great job despite being overpowered. I mean, like you stated, it was only a matter of time before AC Milan would kind of pull away just because of the type of team that they are. Just being able to go level with them for a good chunk of the match and then obviously have AC Milan break away later on, it just shows how good Udinese is, even though they are a team that usually only finishes in the middle of the table. But AC Milan just always knows how to come back from losing situations or even situations where they're drawing majority of the match and they manage to get the win. But this is a team that we've seen time again with Liao, Tonali. I'm going to probably have to do the same thing, Charles. I mean, it's just one of those situations where this is also a team that's stacked pretty well from top to bottom, and you know that they're going to do what is needed to get the results. So, and it showed again in this match against Udinese. Udinese did a great job despite the situation.
Yeah, the other thing I kind of just thought of right now is, and I'm just curious what you guys think. I think their starting 11 is as good as you can be in the league, pretty much, outside maybe one or two teams. The bench, though, I think is a little – I don't know. I like what they have with the bench, but I think that's another thing that could potentially see them not fulfill their ambitions. And I think it just depends on how they react, because even though they may not be the favorites, they have the crown, so everybody's going to be going for their throat. And if they can withstand that pressure and kind of deal with the other things that they're going to have to deal with, I think they could have a great season. But I don't know. Just personally, I think I just have a few questions about the bench, but I think they have a solid team. I just don't think they have the depth of some of the other teams. But what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. They have a solid starting lineup. I think you have to give them respect. Like, the respect is due, like, along an Inter fan, you got to give them respect for winning the league, like, last season. Like, what they accomplished in those last four games were pretty impeccable. But I totally agree. I think, especially in the back line, I found, like, already it was a bit shaky the first game of the season. Like, they conceded two set pieces. And so, like, there's definitely some room for improvement there. But especially if one of the players get injured in the center-back role or even in the midfield, like, I don't know. I just find that the players on the bench, they're probably high on talent, but they lack experience in the playing with that amount of pressure. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think if the team could stay healthy, I think they could compete to do big things. But for sure, like, when it comes to rotating the squad or if injuries occur, like, it's a little bit questionable for sure.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to sign a dude from Frankfurt. I know his name, but I just not pop in my head. Who's a very good defender, but his first few games haven't been great. He's not in good form.
Okay.
And that's a decent signing to pull off. But it's like, when I look at the benches of some of the other teams, I see like, okay, that's a good bench. And not to say that Milan's bench isn't great and it doesn't have potential, but there's my eyes don't go to the bench. Because when I was watching the game, I was looking at what they have on the bench. And I'm like, all right, they have Charles, who I think eventually is going to start.
Sorry.
And they have Origi, who I know a lot of people are excited about that one, and he'll score you great goals when it's the most important moment. but he's not going to score goals often, like regularly.
Right.
And then their mid, yeah, the midfield is the off the bench. Obviously, the midfield I think is decent, but it's I think it's the defensive area really, because outside of Tonali and the Kukulu or whatever his name is, those two I have confidence in, and obviously. Fiar Hernandez is more attacking than defensive in that area too. So it's just like there's certain things that I feel like they need. Not to say that they're going to finish outside of the top three or four or whatever, but I think just looking at the Milan bench is like I don't have a lot of questions about Milan, but I really rate their coach and I rate their lineup. But I think there's some things that need to be figured out, and I think they made a mistake how they handled their summer. And they spent their whole summer trying to get one guy, Charles. And I'm glad he's there. I think he's going to do a great job. But in doing that, they lost out of potentially getting more signings from other things that would help their bench, because their bench is, I mean, if Milan are going in the right direction, some of the people on their bench now will not be on this team long term. And I feel like they need a better collective bench, but their starting 11 is sick. Anyway, Danielle, what do you think about their Milan's issues bench wise?
Well, I mean, it is a cause for concern. Obviously, great starting 11, as we all stated, but when it comes to the middle end of the season, when injuries are bound to occur, it's like, who do you rely on? You have areas in the defense that are spotty because there's not really a lot of good options to fill the void there. Then you have the same issue with the midfield and the attack. Like, the options are very slim. And then if you're relying on some of these players to keep you through while your main people are trying to recover, it's just going to set you back, especially as defending champions. Oh, sorry. I got sick in my mouth there for a second.
Well, you can wait a year from now. You might be defending champions. So.
Well, I'll be that, but you know. But anyway, when you're defending champion, you want to have a great bench. You like, if you're looking at teams like Inter, I would say, I mean, Roma's working on building a great project.
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to because I felt it would be like too biasy. But while I was talking about their bench, I was thinking of Matic and Ronaldo and some of the other players we brought in. But I think, yeah, I get what you're saying. I think the bench does need issues. I actually think that's a real issue where I don't see the striker midfield situation as a huge problem, because they're going to find goals somewhere. It just depends on how they're going to manage it. And if Charles is playing in the midfield, it's possible that the midfield could get the goals that would belong to the strikers. But I think the bench is something to be concerned about. And I like their goalkeeper. I think he's the second best goalkeeper in the league. I like Tomori. He's arguably the best defender in the league. And I like a lot of what they do, but I think they need more like toughness defensively to avoid mistakes like that. And I rate Theo Hernandez, and he's improving defensively. But if they could bring someone off the bench in that same position that's more defensive minded than attacking minded, I think that would help them a lot as well. But I think the bench is probably the main issue. But I still think they're better than 95% of the teams because their starting 11 is so good. All right, moving on. So I'm going to just talk for a few minutes because we're moving on to the Roma game.
Go ahead.
And then I'll let you guys sort of pitch in as well. So obviously, as a Roma fan, obviously winning the Conference League last year was really excited. And then the summer that we had without spending much money, with getting Wijnaldum, Matic, Dybala, obviously, and then the potential of keeping Zaniolo, who I was really pissed at a few months ago. I'm less pissed at now. And the fact that Inter was about to sign Dybala and we somehow managed to land him. And we seen the video of his announcement and all the fans that showed up, which was like bigger than the Manchester City Premier League parade. But Rome just does things differently. So I thought this game was going to be interesting because I seen a lot of people talking about Silent Gianna, and questioning whether they can stay up. I think a lot of people that I saw, I haven't seen that many people's predictions, but IFTV was both, all of the people on their crew was saying that they're going to be relegated. You know, fair enough. I'm not taking shots, but I find it a little strange because I think actually they're going to be a little better than they were last year. The question is, can the coach do more than just be a firefighter? So I was actually going into their stadium. I thought we were winning the game, but I was a little nervous about what they could potentially do with their new attack, having to see the dude who drenched us 6-1, and then beat us obviously with Bobo Glint, the Norwegian Hobbits, doing what they did against us. I think he's a good signing. I think the guy from Uruguay is a good signing. I think they have enough to kind of make up for what happened last year. But then the game started and we were really going at it, and Zaniolo misses two chances at the very beginning. But I was so pissed because they were easy goals there. But outside of that, obviously he played really well. And then getting to see Dybala, Tammy Abraham, Pellegrini link up was really fascinating. Every time I saw Dybala with the ball, I had to pinch myself because I had a hard time believing that that was actually him. Just because it's not the typical Roma signing, because obviously Mourinho has changed things just so significantly. And I loved the way we controlled the game. We dominated pretty much. I liked the way that we moved the ball. We looked like a totally different team than we were, months ago in the Conference League final even. And I thought they played really well. And you can say, oh, they only won 1-0, but we could have easily scored a few other times. Dybala hits the post. Karsdorp hits the post. If Zaniolo's having a better day in front of goal, it could have been sort of over by halftime. I thought we played really well all around, and I thought in particular Cristante, who doesn't get the love I feel like he deserves, just being that the person who just sort of does all the dirty work and really kind of performed in getting that goal in the end, which he doesn't get that many goals, which was nice in that first half. And then we control the second half, and then we bring on Matic and Ronaldo. And to me, it felt like we didn't make a substitution because the players that had come off, but both of them come on and do the exact same roles, and there wasn't any sort of difficult adjustment, and they just fit right in. And not to mention what the rest of the bench we have now, which is great for me as a Roma fan, and potentially getting Belotti this week would be great. Now that Kluivert's, I think, going to Fulham, but overall I was extremely happy and encouraging on what we could do. And obviously I would have loved to score 4 or 5 more goals, but I think based on sort of everything coming into fruition, I thought we played extremely well, and there's not much to sort of complain about other than the goals. But again, it was a great thing seeing people like Wijnaldum, a Champions League winner, Matic and Dybala, and then obviously Abraham and Pellegrini look sharp as well. So yeah, it was a good weekend for me. What are you guys' thoughts on Roma's performance?
Oh, very dynamic. I found the first half they were ecstatic, like energetic. A lot of it was very fluid the way they were moving the ball around. Very creative, which is not the typical that we saw last season. So we definitely saw like what the new signings brought to the table. Like Dybala, like he was so strong technically. The way like he would maneuver his marker, like when his back was against them, like it was really nice. Zaniolo was pretty well. He played very well. I found the. Although, like, I don't really like, I have played, and he scored a fantastic strike into the low corner from quite a far distance. So, overall, a good result. Mourinho points, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, let's see how we look at against Juventus. But I was very happy. Daniel, what were your thoughts on Roma's opening day win?
Well, wait, you face Juventus next?
No, two weeks. I'm always thinking ahead.
Oh yeah, that's right. yeah, I predict Juventus winning 2-1. I could see that. But, I mean, it's definitely a great start for the Roma season, just seeing how Pellegrini, Abraham, and Dybala were able to, like, link up and just, like, work as a well-oiled machine. Obviously, you had Zaniolo, who was a little bit problematic at times last season, but has really, like, cleaned himself up and really started to be more selfless and just really working as a part of the team instead of trying to do everything on his own. Then you have Cristante doing his thing. I mean, just very well done from Roma on this opening match. I just can't wait to see how the link up between Pellegrini, Dybala, and Abraham will go throughout the rest of the season, especially against teams like Juventus. But I still think that Dybala was definitely the signing of the season for you guys. But yeah, just a great way for Roma to get things started off.
Yeah, no, I agree. This was like the first year in I don't know how long where I had any sense of belief that my team can actually go on to accomplish something. And obviously that starts and ends with the Friedkins and Mourinho being able to. It's crazy because we just generally speaking, our window was considered one of the best in Italy. And only two teams spent less than us, only Lecce and Sampdoria, because we almost spent no money, because the only actual signing that we pulled off with cash, like straight up, was the I can't say his name either, Silk, the Turkish right back. So I thought we looked well. Again, I want to see this team tested against a bigger team. And I think for us, if we can get points off of the top six regularly, then my second place prediction may not be far off, but I think getting into the top four should be kind of Roma's mentality and sort of thought process for this season. And again, I would like more goals, but, you know, I thought the performance was, you know, exceptional. I mean, a Premier League fan can look at the score and say, oh, Roma were shit. But if you actually watch the game, they dominated and were excellent. And Zaniolo didn't score, but he did everything. I thought he was terrific. Mm-hmm. If he could just – the only issue I had other than him trying to go to Juventus is his decision-making in front of goal, because he does everything else really well up until that point. And then I don't know if it's too much pressure. I don't know if wanting a goal so badly that it goes into his head. But if he can just fix that part of it and be precise and sort of like surgical in front of goal, you know, I think that's great. I'm not asking him to score 15 goals. If I could get 8 out of Zaniolo, I can live with that, just because I'm expecting big numbers out of Dybala and Abraham. Right. But if he can contribute into that, because I think Abraham's good for, like, I want to say 20, but 15 to 20. And if Dybala can get another 12, I think Zaniolo doesn't need to score 25 goals. He just needs to participate into the goal scoring and just be a little more intelligent in front of goal. Because last year what drove me crazy about him is he get a great chance, whether it's his own chance or someone else's chance, and he would just unnecessary dribble or strike a ball when somebody's wide open for like a tap in. So if he can just mentally work on that part of the game, I think we can be good. And obviously seeing Spinazzola back into the action and looking amazing too was great. Good opening start. But again, we will see how they handle a tougher opponent. All right. Napoli beat the living shit out of Verona, who looks just horrifically bad. Even though Verona did score on their only two shots of the game. What are your guys' thoughts on the decapitation we saw up by Napoli?
I thought they were the best club in the opening week. To be honest, Napoli looked like they looked scary on the counterattack, very swift and dominant. And yeah, I think it was a very good statement that they made. Like, there was so many people are doubting Napoli after like the big departures of Lorenzo Insigne, Mertens, and Koulibaly. So the losing so many icons of the club and the players who play a vital role in terms of leadership. Like, a lot of people are undermining now. I think they're a very dangerous team and one to look out for. And I think that's what they demonstrate this within this fixture. You the Austin man who played very well, scored a goal, got an assist as well. You have the new guy, the Polish kid. It's so hard to pronounce his name.
I'm just calling him Shiv. That's what I've decided. Either the Georgian master or Shiv. I'm just going to call him Shiv. No, because
I mean, that kid was pretty incredible on the ball.
He was amazing.
He got a goal for himself too in his debut. That was really nice. And I think even the midfield, Lobota and Zielinski played phenomenal. Like, without Fabian Ruiz being in the midfield, they pretty much stepped up in that central area of the pitch. So, like, overall, I think it was a fantastic result for them and very positive way to start the season away from home against Verona.
Yeah, agreed. Daniel, you go next. I need to do some more, think about something. Go ahead.
I mean, definitely a great win for Napoli to start up the things. Obviously, this is a team that me and Elliot have criticized in the past with how they've handled things, but just seeing this definitely shows that they are a team to not fall asleep on this season. Obviously, Verona, where were you, dude? Like, did you forget that summer for you guys just ended like a few weeks ago? I mean, you didn't even turn up. I mean, it just shows that. I mean, I'm not going to knock Verona too much, but because they're a team that can show up in big moments. But we just have to wait for them to kind of like wake up from their nap saying, let's go. Come on, the season's already started. But I mean, other than that, just a great win for Napoli. Definitely the team of the week and definitely one to keep an eye out for, especially with a lot of the players that they did lose. So overall, just a great start for them.
Yeah, agreed. I don't like saying nice things about Napoli because I don't think their fanboys deserves it. Nothing but respect for the club, though. But they were incredible. I was watching that game, and you know, at least at the beginning, I thought Verona would be a little bit sharper. Yeah. But it does seem like they're gonna struggle. But I'm not gonna just say, oh, could they're playing this team, so it doesn't matter how good they were, because they were fantastic. The new kid from Georgia was terrific. At some point, I'm just going to have to think of a nickname that sticks. But the kid from Georgia, that's what I'm calling for right now. I knew about him a little bit because Fabrizio Romano was talking about him, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Yes,
about how he's the next big talent out of that part of the Europe. Right. So I was just curious to see how he was going to play. And of the signings that they made, and I didn't love a lot of them personally, that's the one that I thought, that's a good deal. And seeing him, he almost scores before he scores his goal. And then off that set piece, he just gets in the right position at the right spot in the right time and kicks it in. And obviously, with what they lost in Koulibaly and Mertens and Insigne, who I can't believe is playing in the MLS. But when they lost everything, I was one of the people thinking that this team is like a stone. And I know it's one game, but it was really impressive. The midfield was good too, and I thought the midfield was going to be shambolic. So there's a lot of good, and I kind of love hate Spalletti, but I thought he handled that opening game really well. And obviously, Verona scored those two goals on, like, I think only two shots. And it does look like they're going to kind of fall apart here, because I don't know if it's happening, but the Anton Barak, I heard something about him going to Fiorentina. And then Giovanni Simeone, who I like to call Serie A's Jeremy Lin, just joined Napoli, right. Which could be interesting. I'm basically asking to be proven wrong, because when I saw him play at Verona the last couple of years, what I saw last year is he just got hot for no reason and just kept going. I haven't seen, like, consistency from him, but, you know, speaking of Napoli, that could be a good pickup as – as a backup, not as like a number one, but a, because I to be honest, I never really rated Petagna after he left Spal. But I think they Napoli put a complete performance. I think they handled that game well. They dominated it the way they moved, the way they, you know, were slicking the balls. I thought just the way they handled the whole thing was really well. And Osimhen, who, you know, if he stays healthy, they can do something great. The problem with, you know, kind of going out on a limb and saying, oh, they're going to be this or this, is he's not healthy enough. So if he could just not get injured the whole season, I think he could be one of the top scorers in the league. And I thought collectively from top to bottom, they looked just really, really good. And again, it's one game, and I'm going to lose myself over it. But it could be something interesting happening there, because I think if they get a different goalkeeper, and it's nothing against Merritt, but he plays one great game against Juventus every 2 years, and they keep him. If they could get Navas, was obviously being discussed, because I think Ruiz is trying to go to PSG or whatever. But if they could get someone experienced in goal, I think Napoli would be perceived in a totally different light. I don't think they can fix their midfield issues this window, but if they could just get another goalkeeper, I think they'd be solid, even if it is, you know, a short-term fix, because I think Merritt makes too many mistakes in important moments. I still stand by my pick of – not really. I bumped him up a couple spots, but I do think that they're going to be in a tough race to finish in the top four. But I do think I literally liked everything I saw, and it was making me so infuriated because of how good they looked. But I think of everything that happened in the Napoli game, I think the kid from Georgia – is really stuck out to me, and it's not to mention, I don't think the other signing, Matthias Oliveira, got on the pitch. So when he's like put into the defense, I think at least consistently, I think that's going to be a solid signing too. But I thought Napoli played unbelievable. All right, so Juventus, this was a crazy game, even though only one team score, but Juventus get the 3 points and the three goals against Sassuolo. What were your guys' thoughts on this one?
The overall, just a dominant win. To start, you have Angel Di Maria scoring on his debut, getting those series out. Fantastic goal. I mean, half volley bounces off the ground over the keeper into the net one time from Alexandro's cross. Very good. I think overall he was very impressive. He brings that creativity and flair and that speed, which I find could cause a lot of problems in the Serie A. So, like, he's definitely one player to watch out for sure, despite his age. And Vlahovic got a brace in his first game, although it was a penalty. The second goal was nice. Di Maria got the assist. Overall, I think it was a perfect way to start the season for Juventus after their frustrating year last season, especially that fixture. That's when they lost 2-1 last season to Sassuolo, where Domenico Berardi left them for dead last year. But overall, I don't know. As a Bianconeri fan, you can't be unhappy after that impressive result.
Yeah, they might not even need Pogba after all that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe that's not going too far, but overall, it was impressive.
No. It's all good. I don't like the signing, but not because of going back and forth between Juventus and Man United. I question the attitude if he'll work hard for Juventus. That's my only thing. Because if he comes in and does great and works hard.
Because he's talented. Like, naturally, he is arguably the best midfield, one of the best midfielders in the world. But yeah, it all comes down to his attitude. I think when it comes to Pogba, it's always about his attitude that we discuss.
100%. And I think, again, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I think people saying that, again, Man United is a toxic wasteland where people go to die. But I don't think you can say that was all Man United's fault, because he created his own demise also. So I think, you know, a lot of people saying that he's going to just go back to what he was, I don't know, 5 years ago, I think is a little bit of a stretch. But obviously my only issue with him is, number one, the attitude issue. And I don't like that he's making more money than Vlahovic. I think that's wrong on every level, because based on what's happened the last couple of years, he should not be the top earner for Juventus. But, you know, you know, Juventus can do whatever they want with their money and all that. But you know, that's really my only issue with Pogba. I'm only kind of joking. I think he's going to actually have a good season. But I thought Juventus played really well. I did not think they started well. I thought Sassuolo was pushing them into the back, into a corner during the first, I don't know what it was, 15, 20 minutes. But once they got that goal, I thought it was it did feel like lights out. And even though Sassuolo continued to push back and push back and push back, but I think Di Maria gets that first goal, and then Vlahovic from the penalty spot, which I thought was a penalty. Everybody's kind of complaining that it wasn't.
No, but a pen,
yeah, I don't understand that. I thought he basically tackled him.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a fair penalty. I mean, the Milan penalty wasn't a fair penalty, but my thing is I'm just not someone that blames the referees unless it's the reason somebody loses or wins. I don't like that we have crappy referees in Serie A, but I'm not going to bring it up unless it's like the reason somebody doesn't unless it's the reason points are being surrendered. But then he gets another, and I think this dude is just going to cook this season, especially with Di Maria on the left side or right side, whatever it is, giving him the ball in the box. And I think if he gets service in the box, he's going to smash it. Allegri is the only negative thing I can think of about this team. He did well in that first game, but I'm not a big Allegri fan in this version of him, at least. But if he can handle it, I think this Juventus team could be in the title race, and I think they will be. I don't know what order this is all going to fall, but I think they show that they're for real, because I think Sassuolo is a lot better than most of the teams of the top sides played. So I think that's a really kind of alarming signal that they want their crown back. I don't think they're going to get it back, but I think they're going to have an incredible season. And if there was one team in Serie A that I think can go the furthest in the Champions League, if put in the right situation, I think it would be Juventus. But anyway, that's me. Danielle, your best friend's Juventus, big win on the season. What were your thoughts on their performance? Well, but in the past, you've said things that suggested that that's not the case. But anyways, besides the point, what were your thoughts on your arch nemesis?
Obviously, you have Di Maria. Great way to start your debut with Juventus, getting that first goal. And then, of course, we've talked about this with Vlahovic being that, like, I think ever since Vlahovic signed for Juventus, he's just really stepped it up, especially since he's in a team with those winning tangibles. So you kind of see his game step up to the next level. So, I mean, and it's clear that they're fighting to get that crown back. Obviously, I don't think they're going to get their crown back either, but they are definitely going to be contenders for it. Obviously, let's see. And then, of course, Sassuolo. This is a team that we've seen be successful in the past, but then, of course, as its season progressed, they just fizzled out. But this is a team that continues to routinely finish in the middle of the table. But they were just overpowered, like you would expect from playing against Juventus. So, I mean, overall, great win for them. And I can't wait to see what Di Maria brings to the table, but overall, Pogba who?
I have a question about it. So you guys, obviously, I think you guys are the favorites for the league. Doesn't mean you'll win it, but I think just generally speaking, most people are in agreement that you guys are the one, not the ones that people are going to chase down, because obviously Milan won the title last year, but of the teams that will pressurize you guys, who do you guys think are who you the most threatened by? Just curious.
Yeah, I'd have to say Juventus. I think Juventus is the one that brings the most. Now what they signed the Filip Kostic and maybe Memphis Depay coming in before the transfer window closes. I think they have the most depth. Signing Depay, like there's so much like unpredictability, like the way Allegri could sign the line them up against Inter. So I think they're the ones that bring the most threat and yeah, the most apart from Inter. I think they have arguably the most balanced out squad with Inter.
Yeah, I agree. And the one, I mean, this is dumb, but the one thing I had, the question I had was, is Allegri, did Allegri actually watch Philip Kostic play, or is he going to put him in the right position? And the answer is yes, because he's not a left back. If he has any plans, he's a wing back. Yeah, he's not only is he a wing back, he's an only wing back. I tell people all the time that when he was at Frankfurt, there was only a handful of teams that can actually sign him because he does not play left back. If you put him on the left back, he's going to get lit up. So the fact, because like I said, I'm not a big Allegri fan, but him putting him in the right position makes me like, okay, he gets it. Because I swear, I thought he was going to put him in left back. I just had a sense. But yeah, he put him in the right position. I think that's the important thing that counts. And obviously they're well balanced all around. But Daniel, do you agree, or do you think someone else is the bigger threat to the throne?
I actually agree, because unlike our rivals across the pitch, AC Milan, Juventus also have a good solid bench that they can rely on when the season gets to the point where injuries are going to occur and stuff like that. So definitely Juventus, just because they're like Inter. When you have a good starting 11 plus a good bench, it means you have great quality throughout. So definitely Juventus would be the ones that could pressurize us going forward.
Yeah, I would agree as well. But it leaves a door for Roma to just shock everyone and win the league. I'm just kidding. I'm just going to briefly talk about this, and then we'll just kind of gloss over the rest of the games. but Fiorentina winning at the end against Cremonese. I'm not that familiar with them, so I don't know how to pronounce their name correctly. I thought it was a great performance from them. Obviously, my international goalkeeper decided to let Fiorentina win at the end by catching the ball in his own net. Please, someone give him a different passport. I don't want him, in the goal when we're trying to qualify for tournaments, which we already struggled to do. I thought the only thing I really I watched this game, but the only reason I really watched the game was because of Jovic. I wanted to see how he does, because he had a couple years in Frankfurt where he was really good. And then he goes to Real Madrid, misused. Then he comes back to Frankfurt on loan. He only scores like 4 goals, and I think it was like 18 games. But that year, Andre Silva was just dunking on everyone. So it was hard for him to get on the score sheet in general. So I didn't even see that as like a bad thing. But I like the deal for Fiorentina, because you look at all the rest of the teams in the league and the top strikers that they have. I think Fiorentina comes in here and gets a good signing. He scores his first goal. I thought it was a terrific way to start his season, and I think they're gonna do well. And they're winning the Conference League first leg qualifier, which is good. And I hope they go to win it. Just for Italy, because it's one of the teams that I'm okay with winning in Europe. But good overall performance from Fiorentina. I thought they look strong, and they look like a team that could bounce around and do something in Europe. But I think the big takeaway for me is that Jovic is off the mark, and I think he's going to have an outstanding campaign. But anyway, what were your guys' thoughts on this game?
Yeah, no, Jovic was definitely, I think in my opinion, that was probably one of the top signings in the Serie A, like, for Fiorentina.
Agreed.
Like, signing him for free, like, it was actually impeccable. Like, he's a young striker. I think that's arguably the best signing with the transfer window. But even Fiorentina, they made quite a few signings this summer, I think. Apart from Roma, I would put them up there as, like, one of the big winners of the transfer window within the Serie A. But overall, I think it was a fantastic debut for Luka Jovic. The way he used his physicality and turned and beat the defense behind him, and even technical ability of the box to get around and score that goal. Like, it was very impressive, and to score on like that on your debut after quite a drought these last couple of seasons, it was pretty impressive. So overall, all positive for Fiorentina, and I think they're definitely one team to watch out for in this season.
Agree, they're my dark horse Champions League team this season. I don't think they're gonna make it, but I think they could get a top 5, maybe. Danielle, Fiorentina wins opening game. What were your thoughts on that?
Definitely a great win for them, especially with Jovic. I mean, just the way that they're able to like continue on without Blažević just says volumes. So overall, definitely a great start for them. And I actually do think they'll finish. I actually think they'll finish in the top five. I mean, just based on what the quality that they do have is huge. So we'll see what happens with that, but definitely a great win for them.
Yeah, I think it's between Fiorentina, Lazio, and Napoli. They're going to finish in a row. I just don't know what order. Speaking of a team that I don't think is in that order, is Atalanta beat Sampdoria 2-0. New signing gets the late goal. They scored two after Sampdoria got disallowed. To me, not too much to take from this. I thought it was a good performance, but I wasn't overly impressed by it either. Sampdoria kind of looked not great. what were your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, no, Sampdoria fell apart. They found definitely not the same Sampdoria that we saw last season. I thought they were more threatening with the prior campaign. This one fell apart. And Atalanta, I mean, it was nothing too spectacular. Apart, I think like the most positive thing was Lookman getting the goal as the goal
that's about it.
As the Robin Gosens successor, like Robin Gosens, who brought like at least 10 club goals as a wing back for consecutive seasons for them. Like I think like look kind of had that pressure of scoring and providing some sort of goal scoring effort in the box for Atalanta, and I think him scoring kind of relieved some pressure off of him. That was it, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I think Gasperini's sort of I'm in awe about what he did the last couple of years, but I think his team just kind of ran out of juice a bit, and they're just not going to be the same team they were. And I think this is probably a top eight team, but I don't think they're going to finish ahead of the other three teams that are kind of in that area. Danielle, we've been kind of trashing Atlanta for since last January. what were your thoughts on their unimpressive victory?
Congratulations, you get 3 points. Maybe you'll surprise us, but I doubt it. But I mean, it was just unimpressive. I mean, they overpowered Sampdoria in certain key moments, but I mean, this just isn't the team that we were used to seeing that finish in the Champions League with us. But it was just one of those things where they're starting to like fizzle apart. I still feel like they'll finish it maybe in the top eight as well, but it's a far cry from what we've seen from them in the past.
Yeah, I think Papu Gomez leaving then, and obviously Zapata's injury issues are, I think, is a big reason kind of why. But I think Gasperini loves that club so much, but I think he stayed a bit too long. He should have got out of the seat when things were starting to kind of fizzle. But I think they're not that nothing impressive about that. But Torino 2-1 winners over Monza. I thought Monza looked okay for the promoted side. I think they're going to have a good season. Torino lost their best center back, and they lost Belotti as well. I think they have one of the best coaches in the league. I think Juric is going to do a tremendous job again with a bunch of nobodies like he did last year. Good win. It wasn't like incredible, but I thought it was pretty solid victory for them against newly promoted side and giving them welcome to Serie A kind of moment. But I thought Monza did all right. But I think Torino is just a step better. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, Juric is just an overall tactician. I love the way he sets up his team. Like for him, like he doesn't need like all the talent in the world. I find like he can set up a system very well that requires a lot of discipline, and the way that team presses, puts that high pressure on the other team, it's phenomenal to watch. They're a team that could cause a lot of trouble collectively, and overall, despite losing huge significant players, they managed to get 3 points in their first game of the season. So fair play to them.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a top 10 team probably this season. He wins with no one. He can put me at center back and I do agree. And they just got the center. I think Ajax's best center back. I think Man United. I forgot his name. Peter is his first name. I can't pronounce his second name. But I think Man United signed the wrong center back, and I think Torino got the one that they should have got or whatever, but yeah. I think he's going to be terrific. I think Bremen left, obviously. I don't think there's going to I think it's possible that we're sitting here by the end of next season and Torino fans are saying he was better anyways. So I think that's a great signing, and they could do something special. We'll see what they do the last couple of weeks of the window, but solid performance. Danielle, Torino wins. What are your thoughts?
Great start for the season. You have Juric continuing to work with the team that's kind of like built of absolute nobodies, but they're able to get the win regardless. Obviously, this is going to be a building project, so we'll see what he does with them. And then you have Monza getting promoted. Hello, welcome to Serie A. We've been expecting you. But it's like one of those things where they were definitely outclassed by Torino, who has been in Serie A for like ever. So, I mean, it's what you would expect from a team that's just recently promoted. So, I mean, overall, just a great result for Torino.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think of your predictions, that's the one you're gonna get the you're gonna be the most off, because I just think they're solid. But you know, I understand your decision to do that. Okay, Lazio Bologna. This was a red card derby. the Lazio's new goalkeeper, and as a Roma fan, this was just hilarious to me. Comes outside the box, handles it, and then gets sent off 7 minutes into his debut. I thought it was just hilarious. But then Bologna score through Marco Arnautovic from the spot. Lazio get an equalizer in the second half, and then obviously Ciro Immobile comes up, as he always does, scores the winning goal, and Lazio win. But I think it's fairly impressive, but also alarming at the same time. But what are you guys' thoughts on Lazio?
I think that was the worst debut of a goalkeeper. And all of Serie A, and all my years of watching the Serie A.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, stepping up as Strakosha's successor, who I think is an impressive goalkeeper. Like, that was just horrible, absolute horrendous.
Same.
Making such a horrific decision, like the ball outside the box and almost costing your team 3 points in the first opening game of the Serie A. Like, that was just horrendous. But overall,
yeah,
I don't think it was another. Yeah, no, I think overall it was a typical Lazio victory. Apart from that, horrific decision making from Maximiliano, I think overall a typical Lazio victory. Immobile scores and Milinkovic-Savic assists. The way they played, it was nothing outstanding and nothing surprising. I think it was a solid performance from them.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Danielle, what are your thoughts on Lazio's whatever win?
Definitely a typical Lazio win. Ciro Immobile secured the winner against, right for it, Process Lunchmeat FC. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Ciro Immobile has competed for the Golden Boot in the league for a very long time, and he just continues to prove why he's one of the top strikers in the league. Obviously, you had that little keeper mishap and saw him set off within 7 minutes. But, I mean, even though it was a horrible debut, they still got the points needed. So, I mean, it is what it is with that one.
Yeah, and I think the last game we had was probably the least interesting game of all of them. I watched this, and then while the Roma game was going on, and once the first goal went, I just gave up. It wasn't that interesting to me. But Spezia, Nzola scores in the end of the first half. Good goal to get themselves a 1-0 win to start the season. Empoli on the losing end, but nothing particularly interesting about the game. But what were you guys' thoughts on Spezia getting through with a narrow victory?
At Empoli, personally, I think like Empoli were like the surprise package last season, so I expected more from them. Like, although it was a boring game, like, fair play to Spezia. I think like they were the underdogs going into it. So that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, I was glad that Nzola scored, because he had scored those, I don't know what it was, 14 a couple years ago, and then last year he had like two goals or something. Yeah. I'm glad he got off the mark, but that's about it. Danielle, what are your thoughts on not a fun game in Spezia.
All I'm going to say is this. Good job, Spezia, in getting your like win. But other than that, there was just nothing to really take away from this.
All right. So we'll just finish with Player of the Week and Donkey of the Week. So I guess I'll go first. My Donkey of the Week is Verona. I think they look like shit, and I think they're probably going to sell their best player, and I think they just sold their second best player. And the Player of the Week, I probably go with the Georgian kid from Napoli.
All right, Donkey of Match Week One has to go to Maximiliano. Terrible, like just absolute horrendous. What a horrible way to start for Lazio. And the Player of the Week, I'm gonna go with the Georgian kid as well. Ecstatic, that's such an ecstatic and a fantastic way to make your Napoli debut.
Donkey of the Week, definitely Verona. Just I think they're going to struggle this season, but hopefully we're proven wrong. And my Player of the Week is Vlahovic, just the way he was able to compose himself during the penalty and getting a goal for Juventus, just the way he's been able to step up over his time at Juventus so far is huge. So I'm going to give him the player.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. We should do this again. Yeah. So thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Next week we're gonna have Joseph, aka Calcio Fan Blogs, on the show, and we'll be talking about the next week of Serie A. But thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you later.